Good evening, everyone. Welcome, welcome to Radiance by Design. You know, it's Thanksgiving, and I have a lot to be thankful for, and one of the things I have to be thankful for is you. I hope you're going to call in. We're going to have some fun tonight. We're going to do a meditation, and I'd love it if you talked about what you're thankful for. I was sort of chuckling in my mind because, as most of you know, I'm Canadian, not American, but we were regaling my grandson, who's 9 years old, with his stories about how Thanksgiving got started, and then all the other perspectives that the folks around the table, the adults, with all various forms of cynicism, etc., had. But what I thought about is we were talking about pilgrims, and I think of how, like, we're all on a pilgrimage, aren't we? We're all on incredible journeying in our lives. And sometimes what looks like a really bad thing is a period of initiation, and what's birthed out of that is a new level of yourself. So I found myself kind of wandering through my own life as I thought about Thanksgiving and wandering through the lives of so many of you who call into Radiance by Design or have sessions, people that I explore kind of the purpose and meaning of your life and how we're all on such a pilgrimage. And, you know, I'm grateful for that, and so are you, because what we're wanting to do is move past the blocks and past the limitations and past the edicts of the subconscious. It's like inside of ourselves, we've got all these interesting obstacles. In doing my interviews for Paradigm Shifters, I always love referring to Jack Hawley, who rewrote the Bhagavad Gita, so those of us in the Western world would understand it better. But I laughed and laughed because it's very like you and me. Inside of ourselves, the problems are similar. It's our self-esteem, it's our hatred, it's our disappointment, it's our, the changing expectations and the woundings and all of that stuff. That's what it's about. It's not about the gold watch. It's not about being the president. And for most of us, it's just about refining, defining, and the pilgrimage to the truth of self, the pilgrimage through to love or to deepening love or to the capacity of love. There are so many pilgrimages we're on. And I sort of laughed because the pilgrims came over here from Europe or England to avoid religious persecution. Well, we're still having religious persecuting heydays all over the place, aren't we? But the thing is I think about that as a metaphor for how we've persecuted ourselves through the beliefs that we've had, the authority and how authority has interpreted life and tried to inflict us, what we bought into, what we didn't, how we struggle to get our real selves out of the edicts of society or authority. I just go, wow, all the turns and twists that we have such, we know we can have such gratitude for those things. And also, I was talking to Sandra Snead, who wrote What Do You Do When You're Dead, which is such a great book. Sandra Snead is someone who went through a really difficult time, an initiation. A lot of us have been through at least one of those. And as she wrote every day, kind of complaining and releasing herself into her notebook, she began to hear other voices. And I think it's just beautiful, the kind of stuff that she came up with. We've heard a lot of it. We've all heard a lot of channels and so on. But there's a purity in how she puts it together, a simplicity. And one of the things she was talking about that touched me deeply as I was reading the book in preparation was that all yourselves are full of information. You know that, and I know that. But the way she put it is that when we're doing our, for example, visualizations through our vision, through our sight, we're talking to all of ourselves. And they don't know any better than to follow what our visions are. And I love that. I went, well, now, isn't that a beautiful, light, and very simplistic, creative process? And in that process, we also talked about gratitude, giving thanks for all the various journeys that we've gotten through and how that literally transforms, it changes ourselves and gives us, going back to be the pilgrim in our own lives, it gives us the opportunity to maybe lighten the load, getting around various obstacles. I'm not saying it washes away all the problems of our lives that we're trying to surmount, but it's certainly, when we're saying I'm grateful for my initiation, for feeling like I was flung into a huge ocean without any kind of a life jacket, you know, that sort of thing, we've all gone through total losses and so on, to really get to a point of being absolutely grateful because of what wisdom you could connect with, what abilities you brought up in yourself when things just pulled away from you. And it's so wonderful, and you can learn more and more about love. And that's all the goal is. I mean, it's really, really amazing. So I'm also very thankful for a wonderful turkey dinner, for some apple pie for my family, and I'm sure you are too. And I'm thankful for you, and I trust that you're going to be calling in after our sacred geometric meditation with your thoughts and feelings on Thanksgiving, on life, on yourself as a pilgrim. What kind of a pilgrim have you been? On anything you want to talk about. Again, my name is Veronica Antwistle. I work with a wonderful stable of guides and angels. And I used to say, how come I can't just go to sleep and let you talk through me? And they say, because you'd never stand for it. You need a whole library so you can do cross-sections and investigations and research and all that. So I have quite a stable of guides and angels, which many of you do as well. And we will talk with you, and we will have them speak to you through me and respond to your questions. And I think that's about all I'll say, because I think it's time for our meditation. And once again, I hope that you're going to be calling in right after. I'll give the number ahead of time, because I know there's somebody waiting to make sure she gets the number written down, because it's been hard enough to... Yeah, and the numbers are... And the numbers are... And this is the Academy Awards, right? 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Oh, I want to say one other thing. As I have a dog here, and he's 10. He was 10 when he was given to me, a little Maltese. He's adorable. And when his mom, who was leaving and wasn't going to be able to have him, said, please take him, I tried to give him to someone else, because what was I going to do with a dog? What on earth was I going to do with a dog? Now he's 18, right? And now I don't know what I'm going to do without him, because he's kind of nearing departure. But it's making me think a lot about how, and making me thank Spirit a lot, and him, and all the forces that brought this to our household, how he, this funny little dog, who needed a lot of help. I guess you could call him a rescue dog, even though he wasn't, you know, deeply mistreated or anything. He has brought so much incredible love into me, into my partner Bob, into our wonderful little household, and our extended family. Everyone feels the love of this funny little guy. And when I think that his days are numbered, I try to be thankful for what he imbued our household with, and what animals are capable of doing. Really, really amazing. So trying to hold that in the light and understand that that's what they do, and they don't live as long as we do, most of them. And so I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for all he has brought us. So let's be grateful for our mutual meditation. And in that meditation, I've talked to enough of you after, when we do our sacred geometry meditation, and we do our healing work in there, I hear back from a lot of you. I hear back from people who are saying, my gosh, I really felt that. Or I knew you took me into the Galactic Healing Center. I knew you did, because I felt it in my body mind. So let's remember to be thankful for the fact that we're learning all these funny, beautiful, artful skills to be connected, like the internet connects us. We're all one in the internet, but we're also all one energetically. And this kind of an example really gives us the experience that we are one, and we can have an impact on one another by just thinking, feeling, sending light, buzzing our fields and frequencies through the universe. Let's do it. Let's do it all together. And as we meditate together, we create a coherent field, don't we? And isn't that wonderful? I think we really need an uplifting, transformative, transcendent, coherent field. So let's close our eyes, unless you're on the side of a cliff or something, on a unicycle. Good. And take a deep breath. And above your head, about 2 miles, see a golden ball. Below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop the filament of light from the upper golden ball down through your spine into the lower golden ball. And now you are, you're skewered, aren't you? You're on a kind of a string or a spit. And now from the upper golden ball to about waist height and out from the body, so you've got room to move and breath and breathe, drop a four-sided pyramid, and it's golden. And upside down, another four-sided pyramid, and its point goes into the lower golden ball. And the two pyramids, when they hitch up together, are an octahedron, an eight-sided figure. And inside of that eight-sided figure, you've got yourself a crystal ball, and the crystal ball is radiant, shimmering, with all spectral hues moving around it. Can you see that? I can. I always feel like it's kind of it's just radiant is what it is. And it's kind of not milky, but there's all these spectral tones moving all around it. And inside of that, there's a star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional star of David. And inside of that, ta-da, there you are, or there I am. And remember, we've been skewered by this wonderful filament of light. And now I want you to spin and spin and spin in your star tetrahedron. Spin and spin and spin and spin. Yay! I'm so happy that I can go on a wild ride like this and take a look in front of you. There's a magical screen. Magic is the deal. And see the magical screen in front of you, and we're going to put our little movies on it. And the first movie is you becoming who you would like to become. And I always say this to you, I want to become multidimensional, consciously multidimensional. I want to be awake on every dimension by choice. That's a big job, and I like to come from the heart. Not the head all the time, but the heart. I'm practicing that. Good. And I just see myself going more and more toward that kind of consciousness. And when I can visualize, remember those cells inside, they don't know, they just follow the vision, right? So I visualize that and I know that I'm believing it at some level and I'm going to get there. And now wrap it in light, move it over to the side. Now we're going to do another movie, and it's a movie that's a project you're doing. Maybe it's home and family, right? Maybe it's a book, a movie, maybe it's a world travel. Maybe it's an out-of-body travel. It doesn't matter. Let's see the project that you want to create. And you bring in all the resources, all the time, the place, the people that can help you. All of that comes together to help build your amazing project. Good. And see the pieces coming. Good. And all the pieces come together in whatever your project is. And you've got it pretty much done. And now one more thing was to ask for all the resources to come together to continue to sustain your project. Right? To sustain your project. So there's time, there's money, there's people, there's focus, there's visualization, and there's success. Whoa. And now wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And now we're going to do the Galactic Healing Center. Now I'm going to do something different. Okay, in the Galactic Healing Center, you and I call in our healing team. I talked about having a whole bunch of beings out there in this intergalactic teamwork that we're all involved in. How many of those are us? How many of those are us at different levels of consciousness? How many of them are ETs? How many are ascended beings? How many are... whatever, it's a great, beautiful day in the neighborhood. And And we're selecting out of that our healing team and have them circle a beautiful, pristine healing table. Right? And then you're the first person who lies on this table. And then we ask our healing team for what it is we want. Now, sometimes we have to ask them to tell us what we want. And then sometimes you want to jot it down. I'm asking what I want. You know what? They're doing the same thing with me over and over, but it has layers. I don't know how you're experiencing. Mine is that every week when we do this, more is removed from my funny cocooning or from all those layers and layers or those little vibrational, what do you call them? I've got like membranes around levels of belief structures and so on, and they're pulling more and more of them out, helping me to free myself to become more and more possible. That's the healing we're working on, in my case right now. I have other things at other times, right? So we'll wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And now we're going to have a fresh table, and our healing team's going to replicate themselves. And we're going to bring in someone else. We're bringing in a wonderful woman who is... She has a lot of chronic, well, I know several of you have a lot of chronic pain, right? That's the hardest thing. So I'm seeing three of you women. There's three tables here, and there's three women I know. One is young, one is middle-aged, and one's a little bit older, more about my age, which is kind of young middle-aged, right? And they're all going to lie on the table, and each one of them has chronic pain. And each one of them has chronic pain for different reasons. One of them in particular has a self-punishing nature at a very deep level. And the reason for that is past life experiences, several past life experiences, that she cannot forgive herself for. And I'm asking for their guidance and their help. The second one is an interesting woman. She's had a lot of abuse and so on, but I'm not sure where her chronic pain is coming from. I think it's a very complicated weaving and interaction, a lot of it from this life, almost as if it's the only way she can find nurturing in this life. There's something else there, too. And then the third one is very empathic and has started off her life with a kind of a sensitivity and a fragility and an extreme willfulness. But as she goes through life, she piles on other people's pain and her resistance to that. It's really interesting. And as she gets older, she's just about to hit her 30s, she's got a lot of physical pain. And I want them to explain to us, or to explain to each of my three subjects, and perhaps you as well, because you might have your own version of this, if how to access the information. These people aren't going to take advantage of that bit of information if they don't really get the sense of where it's coming from. Is it true I'm self-punishing? Is it true that I do this in order to get nurturing? Is it true that I'm picking up much empathy and I'm misusing my own sensitivity? I'm just sort of victimized. You see how we do that? That's it. And I'm asking the guides to explain. And they're really buzzing through these three women. They're buzzing and buzzing and buzzing. And I'm asking if they would please help these women unlock the deep, deep reactions that are being shown, that are showing up in their bodies. Yeah. And they are putting their hands on, I don't know if they have hands, they're putting a seeming hands on the back, on the top of the brain, slightly to the back, and on the base of the spine, and letting energy right up through. That's it. And in all three cases, there is a sense of, I guess it looks more like peace or more organization rather than just pain.
So that's nice. Let's just run our hands around that and close off that. Let's wrap it in light. Sorry, I forgot what I was doing. And then send that off to the left. And when we wrap it in light, it'll just keep cooking, won't it? Okay, now let's bring in another healing table and see who else wants to come in on it. Now, this gentleman here is a wonderful man. He's got a big heart, and he's always struggling financially. Now, let me see. Let's see if we can get a bunch of other ones. There's a lot of people here struggling financially. And, you know, I want to say the one I brought in the first time, we'll just work with him. And those of you who have financial stress can probably relate to some parts of it. Because when I look at him, I go, this fellow is willing to work very hard. But he's exhausted, and he's kind of thin inside. And he was young. He had no, they didn't build him up or support him or anything. And he always was having, it's almost like they chipped away at him all the time, his self-esteem and his inner. And one of the reasons that he's kind of shuddering at the lineup of, you know, getting a decent income is that he's easily knocked down. He's easily convinced that he's not valuable and he's not worth anything. And I'm looking at his red chakra, I'm going, oh my goodness, he hardly has one. And what he has is kind of off his body instead of in his body. Now remember, you have a vibrational vehicle first, and then you download into your body second. And this guy, because of his deep childhood fragilities and his own way, it's almost like he used his sensitivity to protect him from the physical plane, which included from making money and from being feisty. Very, very sensitive man. He could be an intuitive. He could be quite a healer. But he has to absolutely let go for that. Okay, so we're going to wrap him. And he's getting perky. He's getting a lot perkier. And I notice it's showing up in his legs and in his... I think it's his gastrointestinal and the back of his neck. Remember, your neck is consciousness itself. And so there you are. It's showing up right there. Good. Now we're going to wrap him in light and send him off into the ethers where he can be warm as toast while he reformats himself. And I hope he feels a lot better. Now there's another person here. There's several people, but again, here's another person who has been very defeated, who's a little down in the dumps, is very emotional and feels that person feels they can't ever be different. They're in their late, probably 40s or early 50s, and you feel like you can't be any different, that you're sort of plugged into life this way. Have you ever heard people say, well, it's just me, so get over it? I'm going, well, you know, remember, we're all pilgrims, aren't we? Just me? I want to recommend some action. We're going to talk about identities and so on when I come out of this Galactic Healing Center. Because this person, when I look at this person, I see the kind of the weight, the extra weight around the person. And I'm going, it's not just you. It's the stuff you've gathered up along the way and padded yourself with. Oh, yeah, I always forget things. Oh, yeah, I'm the one who has no sense of humor. Oh, yeah, I'm the one that has, I'm not a very good driver. You see how we have all these things? I'm the one that's usually second. Oh, yeah, I'm the one who's usually ignored. I feel like I'm an invisible being. I'm the one that's usually rejected because people are in awe of my basic power and they feel competitive. Oh, there's nothing I can do about that. I'm going, yes, there is. Feel it, feel it, feel it, as if you created it. And command total release. Anyway, these beings of light are moving round and round this one and moving, good, round and round and unhooking that. It's almost like we don't see or feel our belief structure at all, right? We don't really recognize it. So I'm asking, very like these three ladies that came in, I'm asking that you be taught to absolutely know where and what the beliefs are that are keeping you on these programs, and that you feel the love for you that is so abundant, that there's so much love around you, if you could tap that instead of rewriting this old belief structure that's been weighing you down your whole life. Oh, I just want to hug you and give you a big, big love and then send you wrapped in light over to the left again. And we're going to bring in the political table. Woohoo! We're going to change the world. We're going to change the world, right? And here comes a beautiful political healing table. And it's hard to know exactly what to put on this table right now. When I say Thanksgiving, I want to say, like, for example, we were talking about the fabric industry that's coming in from the third world and how horribly poisoning a lot of the cheap dyes and all of that are for the people that live in, for example, Malaysia and these different places where they're Bangladesh and so on. There's so much poison and chemical poisoning being perpetrated while we get cheap clothes, which have a declining fabric quality that's huge. And it's like it's part of what's poisoning the planet. There's so many things. I just want us to all wake up. So let's bring in people responsible for that huge industry. That's just one example. But let's bring in huge industry, the people in the leadership in these industries. Let's really ask that we can infuse in their body, mind, wake up, wake up, wake up. Let's live for the good of life. Let's all live for the good of life. And I'm seeing all kinds of leaders around the world. It seems like they have blinders when it comes to how other people feel about what's going on. That's right. So we're asking our healing team and to bring in all of their healing teams and their healing teams and their healing teams, and let's ask them to infuse all these beings with amazing frequencies of light. Good work. Because those are the things that are going to wake a lot of us up. That's right. I read an amazing story this morning about a fellow who was in the Silicon Valley when they were really at the heyday. I think it was 98 or something. And he said he was just amazed at how he was feeling really weird because he had so much money. He was very young. He was 25 or something, or 28. And all the people around him, all these people had the highest, and he said they had the highest income per capita, these young people in their 20s and 30s, and they had the most Ferraris and the most BMWs and all this, that, and the other, and they were stock market trading like mad, and they had been like techies, and they were building websites and so on, but they had so much money that they just became this great pool of greed. They had the least amount of donations or charitable work and so on. So he started he went to a homeless place and he started gathering all these people who came together and they did a real, I don't remember the whole story, but they did a whole bunch of planning and they seeded a lot of projects where they gave and gave and gave, and it was such he even talked about how there were restaurants where people would go in and be fed for free. And then what happened is ultimately people started to go to the restaurants to volunteer to serve, to volunteer to cook, to volunteer to clean up. And that most of the time when they gave the meals for free at this elegant restaurant, then people donated way more money than they would have received had they been charging the normal rate. Because what he said was that he changed radically from being this very wealthy guy to someone who really became a proponent of paying it forward out there in the world. And it was so, I think it was in The Bond. I go through so many different books and bits and pieces of them by Lynn McTaggart. And it was a section called Pay It Forward. Do you remember that movie, Pay It Forward, where somebody gives you something amazing like a car, and instead of you paying them back, you give something to someone else? And what the studies were showing is that people who get involved in these things are changed. And talk about thanks Thanksgiving changing you. But these people changed and felt invigorated. They felt alive, and they felt much more able to recognize other human beings as their being one with them. It's a really wonderful story. So let's do a little giving ourselves, and let's share with the guides and angels and call in these beautiful, there's a lot of changing frequencies these days. There's huge, huge downloads coming from the universes. I remember Amma Bhagavan saying when they began the oneness thing that there are going to be these golden, this golden frequency was coming in from the universe, and it was going to really awaken a lot of people. And a lot of the work we're doing is learning to bring that in, harness it, use it through our body, mind, and in our healing so that we can awaken as species. And we have the internet, and that forms a kind of a oneness there, doesn't it? But here we are on Radiance by Design. So let's imagine right now, let's call forth some of these golden frequencies that are so available out there and have them come in, come down into the top of your head. Shoot down into your heart, swing round and round in your heart, pop up, go down through your shoulders, your arms, your hands, until your hands buzz. That's it. And now imagine with your hands, which are buzzing with beautiful healing light, patting various parts of the world where there's injustice, where there's illness, where there's raping and pillaging of the land, right? And where the some of the animals are becoming extinct, where there's cruelty, where there's war. Just imagine, you're just huge, and you're patting these various places with high-frequency energy. Isn't that wonderful? And pat all kinds of places on the planet. Yeah, any place you can think about. And have that light go round and round and round your planet. Round and round your planet. That's right. And come back in to your hand and up your arm. Good. And then go round and round in your heart. Back up your neck and out through the top of your head and way out into the great central sun. Back down. Shoot through your body and go way down into the core of the earth. And then I want you to turn around and close off the Galactic Healing Center. Thank our teams of guides and angels and all of their teams of guides and angels, all of their teams of guides and angels. We're so grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then jump back into your star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin and spin and hop here into the room with me again. And this time I'm going to say the number again because somebody said I say it too fast and they would really, and they've changed the site. It's much harder to find it now than it used to be, apparently. So if I'm going to ask Bob if he'll give it to me again, and I'd love you to phone in and tell me what's going on in your world. What do you have to say thank you for? Have you ever found that you can say thank you for stuff that you really, really thought was horrible, like losing a job? Like losing a lover? You ever, you know, or the death of a partner? Have you ever really looked back and found yourself absolutely grateful that you've had your fingers pulled off of some way of identifying yourself? And that brings me back to what I was saying before. Bob's bringing up the numbers, but he's taking a while because I think he was in a bit of a trance there for a bit, that guy. Oops, here it is here. 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. I really want you to call in and let me know how your Thanksgiving is going, okay? In any case, I want you to also think about this. Your identity is one of the reasons that we have, we were talking about racism and separate thinking on our planet. And where it all comes from, and it's really interesting, isn't it? A lot of it comes from comparison with others. And a lot of it comes from posturing. I mean, you look different than I do, so I've got to be better than you or else I'm going to feel less than you, and I can't handle that, right? And my identity, look, I've got lots of money and you don't, so I really don't want you around much because you threaten my status. You threaten my security, so I can't hang out with you. You ever met people like that? It doesn't matter if it's race, religion, or financial status or anything. We get posturing on our identity in a whole bunch of ways. So some of us think we don't, you know. Oh, I wouldn't do that. But bottom line is we all have some version of that. If it's subtle, if it's hiding in us, you know. So let's see if we can find it. Let's do a joint exercise here because we've already got a coherency in our fields, which is really great. That means we've got lots of room to heal ourselves and heal one another. That's it. So now I want you to imagine who you are in the world. You're sauntering into a room. Maybe you're going to attend some kind of meeting where you have to get to know people a little bit. Maybe you're going to learn something, study something. Maybe you're going to go to work there. In any case, you're going to have an interaction with the greater, and here you are. And so what is your identity? What are you posturing? And I say it that way, posturing, because what do we do with our identity? We present ourselves with it, don't we? It's our calling card. And I want you to see what it is about you. You're tall, you're short, you're Caucasian, you're Asian. Doesn't matter. Just keep listing all the things in your identity. You're a Gemini. You're a fast talker. You're a watcher. You're a emotional. You're an intellectual. You're successful. What are all these things about you? You're funny as can be. You're really good looking, right? You're wealthy. You're really not very wealthy. And that isn't really your identity, but that's what we present, isn't it? That's what we present forward in life and in the world. And I want you to bring up all of the stuff you can think about yourself. You're a mom, you're a grandma, you're a father, you're a race car driver, you're a truck driver. Think of all these things. Just imagine all these things. All these things. You're an intuitive. You're a good cook. You're a terrible cook. You're a good housekeeper. You're a terrible housekeeper. Keep going. Keep going. You're very intuitive. You're not very intuitive. You're a great writer. You're not a great writer. Just all the details that you can imagine. Good. Now I want you to exaggerate those. Just see the composite of the details that you've listed. I know we're doing it too fast, and we're doing it without being able to truly presence those details. But I recommend that this be an exercise you do. Maybe do it every day. It only takes a few minutes. And imagine all the composites of these incredible details in your mind, in your awareness. Good. And now I'd like you to drop them all on the floor. Drop them all on the floor. That's the idea. Are they who you are? Now, actually, when you do that, it might be fun to look inside yourself and say, who am I? Who am I really? Now, remember Ramana Maharshi, who's just an amazing, amazing teacher. I read some of his books and love them dearly because they're very, very, very impressive. But anyway, One of his mantras for meditation is, who am I, who am I, who am I, who am I? Give it a try with your meditation because I think it's really, really helpful for us to drop that. I had another exercise I was going to do. Aren't you guys going to call in? Come on. Give me a break here. Let's see. I want to see who's out there. Someone is feeling so badly about who you are. I can tell you're feeling so terrible about who you are. But here's a really good example of how your mom and dad told you you were worthless. But are you? Aren't you a pilgrim? Aren't you a pilgrim just as welcome as any other being on this planet? You really are, and I want you to feel that, because I can see this one person. I can see many people who have some of this description, where you're thinking that you're just not enough. And that comes from what you were told as a small person, and reaching with your mind to figure out, well, what would make you okay, right? You compare to other people. And a lot of times, the ones that look like they've really got it made are the ones with money or great cars or great clothes or whatever. But is that who they are? Is that who you are? I'm seeing you're not enough. You're not enough. So I'm going to remind you of this, to call up the not enoughness. I want to feel not enough. I want to exaggerate it. I feel not enough, not enough, not enough. Bring it up. Bring it up. Bring it up. And notice where it is in your body. For a couple of you, it's right down, just lining right underneath your lungs. Somebody else is kind of across the top of your legs, which is interesting. And somebody else is at the back of your neck. And somebody else, it makes you kind of, your brain goes too fast, and inside there's kind of a shakiness that runs down the left side of your body. I can feel that. And one of them makes your legs really weak. You really should do more workout anyway, you know. I can feel it. So let's imagine that feeling and call that feeling up. See where it is in your body. And now command total release of that energy now. Total release. That's the idea. And sometimes, there you go, a little bit more. And let's call in the light bottle washer. I love to call it the light bottle washer because it's just so graphic. And imagine this beautiful light bottle washer going in through the top of your head and scrubbing and scouring round and round and round inside your head, round and round and round and round and round, and it goes all the way down your head and your neck. Remember that your head, the brain, is full of a lot of old programs. It isn't necessarily your mind. It's not who you are either. It's got a ton of programs that came from other experiences. It's like a little computer, isn't it? And they say if you want to know your karma, look at your face and what your face is like and what your body is shaped like. So is it who you are, or is it a sum total of your actions, past actions and reactions? It gets kind of intricate and rather amusing if you do that, doesn't it? So get that bottle washer going through your head and now down into your neck where we have consciousness of self. And have that bottle washer move round and round in your neck. Don't argue with it. Don't be questioning all of what it means, because that's really difficult. And then have that bottle washer clean out your shoulders and all your senses of responsibility. Down your arms, out your hands, your fingers, so they tingle back up your arms and your shoulders. And that whirl, that beautiful golden bottle washer, round and round in your chest. Remember that your lungs hold karmic grief. And the whole sense of the heart, the higher heart, which is that love that surpasses all physical dimensions, and that ability to hold your awareness of that or the radiance of that, that's a really powerful ability. And you move into your regular heart, the beating heart. And you know that the heart is about love, but it's also about loss, isn't it? It's about despair at times. It's about courage. It's about inspiration, isn't it? So you want to clear out all that driftwood or the doubt in that part of your body. And then keep bringing our light washer, our bottle washer down into the solar plexus, which is your personal power center. And how much of your personal power is made up of defense and holding back and fear-based things or old experiences? Clean it up, clean it up, clean it up. Move it down into your belly area, which is the subconscious, housing everybody else's influence, including your mom and dad and anybody you've had sex with. That's right. Your culture, your past lives, karma, dharma, hamburgers. Now we're cleaning, 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 cleaning. Now we're down into the genital area, and we're cleaning up your base animal instincts. We're cleaning up your lineage and so on, and then shoot down through your legs to support the understanding, male on the right, female on the left, and it gets way more intricate than that, but just get cleaning and cleaning, spiral, 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 to get down to the feet, real understanding, and then shooting into the core of the earth through the soles of your feet. I always think it's kind of interesting that soles of the feet, and they say in the Tibetans, they say, never have the soles of your feet pointing toward the altar, because the soles of your feet is where all the toxicity comes from, comes out. I don't know if that's absolutely true, but they really hold that as a belief. Anyway, we've done our bottle washer, haven't we? And what we've been talking about is clearing out your identities. Because I don't think we would compete with one another. If we kept clearing out our identities and letting them clatter on the floor that like they were pieces of armor, it's amazing. I don't think we would compete with one another all that much, would we? What would there be there? If I could really be me and I'm the only one in the universe that's me, and we're all one, we're amazing facets in this kind of sparkling particle called humanity, right? There's really nothing to be competing. There's nothing to be racist or sexist or any other kind of ist about, is there? There's only, it's all about me and becoming a more purified version, releasing a lot of the old past life stuff, a lot of the old edicts that come from the consciousness of the times in which we were living, maybe the collective consciousness. And the more you get clear of that, and I want to go back to my three ladies that were in chronic pain, and I go, again, as we get back and we do this clearing and so on, and then we just keep asking, reveal to me if I'm punishing myself. I want this to be revealed, please. Show me what I'm believing at some level that is holding onto me or damaging, or what scenario am I playing out from some contract I might have made. You, all of you listening to Radiance by Design, have full capacity to tune in and find out what the contracts are that you basically wrote between lives or during other lives and so on. But sometimes you have to back up and get inklings like, gosh, I feel like I'm being punished all the time. Trust that. It may be true. You may be punishing yourself because of something you did in the year 1200 or 1000 or who knows. You know, I don't even know if we have to backtrack to find out. But I'm watching these three ladies and I'm going, each of them has made decisions at a deep level that it looks to me like, and I don't know about time and space, you know, maybe take them a lifetime, or maybe it'll take them a second. Because if we get it, it can happen really fast. But in any case, each of them has a situation that has been, they've taken it on seriously at a deep subconscious level. And it's costing them comfort. So let's take it back to Thanksgiving. We could say, I'm thankful for that. When we find out, I'm thankful for that. Because what does it put them through? It's kind of the ability to live in pain, to experience pain, to develop compassion for people with pain. There's a lot of things to be thankful for. There's a whole lot about the life of a pilgrim that is full of successes and failures and turns on the road and challenges and skills that you learn to bring up. It's really amazing. So I'm going, we have no idea why each of us has made some of these choices, which means you can't judge mine and I can't judge yours. But we can ask the higher to reveal to us. And as you begin to pick up more and more awareness of what runs your unconscious and your subconscious, the easier it is for you to begin to empower yourself over it. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for being who you are, for being in connection with me, for accessing my website and telling me what you think about life and what kind of guests that you want to hear on Paradigm Shifters, because we're all changing. And when I think of how so many on BBS. I want to say thanks to BBS because I think of so many people like me, like you, who are doing and listening to radio programs that send out messages of possibility, of change, and of evolution, and of higher frequency energies. I get so excited, and I'm just so grateful. Because even if there's only five of you out there tonight, which I think there are more, but, you know, we're all learning and listening and passing on. We're radiating out together a higher and higher consciousness, and we're connecting up with other people who are listening or speaking and doing that as well. That's the magical part of these times, isn't it? Not just media, but media, internet, intention, sending out common healing thoughts. There's so much more to talk about, so we'll do that next week. This is Veronica Entwistle about to head off for Costa Rica. So pay attention. I'll be talking to you from there. And if any of you want to come there and join me, it's at amatierra.com. And I'm going to be there from December the 3rd to December the 15th. And we're doing some workshops, mini workshops, big workshops. We're doing some sessions. We're doing some resting. We're eating some great food and rolling around in the sunshine with my friends Jill and Bob. So I hope some of you will check out amatierra.com and at least come in heart. If you don't come there in person, there's still time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for just being and for being a pilgrim in my journey and your journey. Good night. Much love.